This week, I had the honour to give the eulogy at the funeral of my cousin, Susan Montgomery. Susan was a distinguished midwife who worked in Liverpool and in North Lancashire during her long career. She was a very active member of the Royal College of Midwives and was an international delegate, taking her to conventions as far away as Sydney in Australia and Vancouver on the west coast of Canada. And it can be estimated that during her career, she probably helped to deliver somewhere between 5,000 to 10,000 babies. And it's probably reasonable to suggest that when it came to the world that young babies had to offer, Susan had seen just about everything that was possible to see with young babies. And I've just realised that we ought to do the reading as well, shouldn't we, John? So, would you like to... Yeah, do you want to give it the reading as well? And then we'll get on to the next bit. Thank you, John.
But beware, if you leave and come back, you get asked to do jobs. The reading is from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 22. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be circumcised to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who is righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consultation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him that the Holy Spirit, that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you have dismissed your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people in Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she lived with her husband seven years after her marriage, and then was the widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, feasting and praying, coming up with them at the very moment. She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen.
Thank you very much, John. Much appreciated. So here we have a slight contrast. My cousin Susan would have seen just about everything there was to see with young babies. But Simeon, the righteous man, was very different, insomuch as he knew he hadn't seen everything he was going to see in his life. He would have been a very regular visitor to the temple in Jerusalem, and by now he would have been seen as being quite old. Scholars suggest he would have been somewhere between 70 and 80, which in those days would have been quite old. Now it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. So he watched and he waited and he worshipped and he watched and he waited. Just imagine being Simeon, waiting, looking at each person, looking at each child, looking at each baby and asking, is that the one? Or perhaps he had a more faith-based way of waiting. Perhaps his approach was he would decide until God revealed unmistakably that person to him, in the same way that the Lord spoke to Moses through the burning bush, or God's promise of peace was revealed to Noah by the rainbow, or in Noah's case, he eventually got the message as to what he was supposed to be doing after he spent several days in a fish. We don't know what happened with Simeon, how he waited. What we do know is that the Holy Ghost was upon him. And what we do know is that he was a man of God, he was used by God to his glory. So it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he'd seen the Lord's Messiah. Just imagine that for a minute. Simeon would not die until he had seen the Messiah. Talk about finishing on a high. It would make everything else that happened in your life trivial compared with the fact that you weren't going to die until you'd seen the Messiah. And straight away, there is a message for all of us here. What's going to happen at the end of our lives? Are we not looking forward to being with God, to seeing the Lord, to worshipping him day and night? Surely for us, like Simeon, the best is yet to come. Because Jesus told us in John 14, verse 2, my Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you I'm going there to prepare a place for you? But back to the incident on that day. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went to the temple courts. Now, the Bible doesn't explain how the Holy Spirit moved him, but for Simeon, he knows this is it. He knows that he has to get ready. God is going to fulfill the promise he made. So he's there at the temple courts when Mary and Joseph bring in Jesus. And there's no doubt in Simeon's mind. And he makes one of the great short speeches in the New Testament. Sovereign Lord, you have promised. Sovereign Lord, as you promised, now you may dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which is prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to Gentiles and the glory of your people in Israel. Effectively, Simeon's saying, my work on earth is finished. I'm done here. You've fulfilled the promise. He said, I can go in peace. I can go in peace. And isn't peace one of the things that we all yearn for, that we all strive for? To know that God's hand is in the work at work in our lives so that we can be at peace with him. Simeon knew that the best was yet to come, and his life, and that would be a real blessing in his life. What do the day-to-day hassles of life mean to you if you know that the best is yet to come? Isn't it wonderful that Simeon was able to hold that baby in his hands and say, "You can dismiss your servant in peace." Simeon's choice of words are very important. "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in sight of all nations, a light of revelations for the Gentiles." Let's try and see this through Simeon's eyes. Now, Simeon, if we assume he was 70 to 80-ish, he would probably have been old enough to remember what life was like before the Romans invaded and took over Israel. He would have clearly watched the work of Herod the Great, who was the Rome-backed leader of Israel. He was half Arab, and he did things like rebuild the temples, more for the entertainment of the masses rather than as an act of faith. And if you were Simeon, you could remember how things were before the Romans, and it'd be very easy to be bitter towards them. And when Simeon saw Jesus, it might have been very tempting to say, "This is your descendant from King David's line, who's going to sweep away the Romans and restore the Jewish nation." Because after all, that was a lot of people's interpretation of the scriptures at that time, what the Messiah meant. And isn't it easy sometimes to give the people what they want? But Simeon was doing God's work. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. And when he spoke and said that the salvation of Jesus was for all nations, can you imagine the reaction that might have had from some of the people standing around? It didn't mean just salvation for the hard-pressed Jewish people at that time. But he'd said that it's the hope for all nations. Of course, we should expect change. God is at work at these times. We should expect what we believe is likely to happen. God will do it his way because we're all imperfect people. Salvation was there for the Gentile, and that would be hard for some to take, because on a day-to-day basis, if you were living in Israel at that time, most of the Gentiles that you would encounter would either be those that were oppressing you, those who were working for those people who were oppressing you, or those who are trading with people who are oppressing you. But there it is. "You've prepared in the sight of all nations a light, a revelation for the Gentiles." And this message reaches back to Isaiah 49. "I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation might reach to the ends of the earth." It is the central message of the gospel. Now, for some who were attending the temple at that time, attending the synagogue, they would have considered themselves to be pretty holy people. And we get a taste of that when we look at Paul talking in Philippians 3 about the credentials he had to be Jewish. "Circumcised on the eighth day," he said, "from the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew, as for touching laws, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is the law, blameless." That was the way that Paul justified his particular way as being, "I've grown up like you. This is the way that I was seen before I was converted." And yet, here was Simeon. He held in his arms a baby who would later preach the parable. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood there by himself and prayed, "God, thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector, for I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to the heavens, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And there, at the start of this baby's life, Simeon is proclaiming the Lord's work, salvation which has been prepared for all the nations. And this was reinforced by the message of Anna. Anna never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. And she came up to them at the very moment where Simeon was holding the baby. And she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jesus. Anna's portrait is very, very small. She's about 84 years old. She's a prophet. And she worshipped and fasted and prayed. And she'd been living in the temple for years. And she testified that this baby, one of thousands of babies who've been brought in over the years, this baby was the one that we were waiting for. It's interesting to look at the ages that people use, that God uses, the different ages of the people that God uses. You could talk about the infant Samuel that God uses, the boy David, the teenage Mary, the young woman Esther, Moses, who God used throughout his life, and then go all the way up to Abraham and Sarah, who God used in their old age to found a nation. Just because somebody is old, or young, or busy, or ill, or dare I say discouraged, do not think that God cannot use them to his glory. And just because somebody who is speaking to you is young, or old, or disabled, or different, doesn't mean to say that God can't speak to you through them. In fact, it would have been much easier for Eli, when he was looking after the infant Samuel, to have listened to him first time when he asked the question. He'd have got a decent night's sleep, but instead he ignored him and had to be woken up three times. But however, that's another matter. It's also important not to quote verses in isolation. So we can't ignore the second half of Simeon's prophecy. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and it will be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, a sword to pierce your soul too." It's a hard message for a mother, but one he had to give. I know that my cousin, Susan, would have had many difficult conversations with young mothers. But imagine Simeon, the old man, speaking to the teenage Mary and passing on this message. And then the end of the passage finishes, "And when they performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, their own city, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom and grace. The grace of God was upon him." So at Advent, we think about the good news that God has promised will be fulfilled. Today, we're thinking about Simeon and Anna, who are telling us that the promise has been fulfilled, and this baby will bring that promise to all nations. "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles." Tomorrow is Blue Monday, a man-made problem that man cannot solve. Today, we're here to celebrate the words of Simeon. "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Let's rejoice in that. Amen. We're going to close by singing "To God Be the Glory." Thank you.